Hey, it's Coach Kate here, registered dietitian and owner of RD Kate Sports Nutrition. As a member of the LCC Stars Athletic Department, I teach our athletes what to eat and when to eat it on training days, competition days, and throughout the year. For over a decade, I've been helping athletes of all sports and levels meet their goals. RD Kate Sports Nutrition offers individual consulting, team services, on-demand courses, and downloadable handouts. For more information, visit rdkate.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Coach Cut's Corner. Streaming bright from Michigan's capital city, this podcast is dedicated to helping you better understand the who, the what, and the why of mental performance, personal growth, and Lansing Stars baseball. Coach Cut's Corner, brought to you by IWASH. And now here's your host, Stephen Cutter.
Most players need noise to lead. This guy in the studio today leads through presence, precision, and poise. He's the kind of guy that makes a room better by walking into it. Welcome to Coach Cut's Corner, where we challenge limits, push for greatness, and develop athletes who thrive on and off the field. Today's episode is about something deeper than stats or standings. It's about leadership that doesn't need a spotlight. Stoicism in high-pressure moments and work that speaks before you ever say a word. Our guest today, Kyren Humphreys, one of the most physically gifted athletes to wear the Lansing jersey. 6'5", 230, outfielder, Eastern Michigan transfer, Detroit roots, quiet when needed, vocal when it counts. But what makes him uncommon isn't just the size or the tools. It's the discipline, the approach, the way he holds himself and everyone around him to a higher standard. He came up at Detroit Country Day, built from a strong family foundation, earned his opportunity at Eastern Michigan, and now he's here at Lansing stacking bricks with us every single day. Let's get to work. Welcome to the studios.
That was very nice words. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
That was really cool.
From one savage to another.
Yes, sir.
Kyren, you're intentional with your voice, and when you speak, guys listen. Where does that sense of timing and leadership come from?
I learned a lot from my father while he was coaching. I was attached to his hip since I was two, so I was at every practice, every game, in the dugout, listening to how he spoke to his players and how they spoke back to him. And then when my brother was in high school, he played for him as well. So I got to not only hear that after school in the dugout and on the field, but I got to hear that at home when he was on the phone with his teammates in our room and when my dad was talking to him. But aside from that, as I grew up, I learned the right time to speak was when, you know, you listen the most. So being able to have as few words as possible mean the most really, for me, just came from listening to everyone.
The listening just in general is just this huge thing that we all can do a better job of. A lot of times there's a lot of noise and a lot of things going on and we're just not focused on what we should be. But when I was brought up in a generation that when somebody is speaking that you listen to them before you provide a response. And I think today sometimes we, you know, even I get to the point where somebody's speaking and I already have a response for them before they're even done. So I think that's really cool stuff that you were taught at a young age by family. And I think we'll get into family a little bit in this, in this podcast. But how do you balance being vocal with also showing your work through action?
I tend to see a lot of guys say what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And not all the time do they actually do what they say. Mm-hmm. And I learned from you, especially being humble, but hungry, being hungry enough to be able to go out and do what you need to do every single day with the discipline it takes, but also being humble to know that you might have done this or that there. And what we're going through right now with after the past happens, it doesn't matter anymore. Being able to, you know, put that foot forward in the present. Actions obviously speak louder than words. So being humble enough to know you're doing what you need to do, but there's always room to do more.
Really solid answer. And we talk about a lot of stoic ideas in our program, one of them being controllables. How do you stay grounded when pressure hits?
I pretty much, just like every game, I give myself a checklist. There's only a certain amount of things I can control. Since I'm in a leadership role within the team, I can control my behavior, my emotions, if things go my way perfectly or if they don't go my way at all. Mm-hmm. I know even if no one's looking at me, everyone's still watching me. So being able to have a level head, especially for our freshmen that may not get to play much, I know they're looking everywhere, as I did my freshman year. I was watching everyone. So knowing that there are important eyes on me in the aspect of internally, being able to control myself and stay level-headed. And then when things go my way, you know, I'm a very religious person, so in the outfield I do my prayer, I do my little jump and everything, and I get going. But even when things are going my way, I still thank him, you know. I still talk to him and I still pray, and not only for me but for the rest of the guys on the team. Every day we have a game. Even when I don't have, you know, a prayer in my head ready to say, guys like Bruno and Prawl, they're like, all right, Kai, you got us. So we all take our hats off, you know, and we all, you know, stand in a close circle. So even when I'm like, okay, I don't really have anything to say, they're like, hey, all right, we're looking at you. So,
yeah, I love that. It's super important, especially when things are going great, to be able to stay humble and stay hungry and somewhat check yourself with what we talk about a lot, where like it doesn't matter what happened. What matters is like right now and what you do with this time right now. And that's what stacking bricks looks like. And we're not trying to put a resume together here. We're trying to be present and we're trying to be at elite levels right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when I was putting these questions together for you for this podcast, I was fired up because of just the person that you are, but also the baseball player that you've really transformed into. And as I started thinking about these questions, I was like, you know, I think he'll do really well with these questions. You're one of the first guests that I haven't provided like show notes for, like, hey, we're going to talk about this or we're going to talk about that. I didn't give you anything. You're just rolling, and that's the rawness of it. And from your experience, how do you carry yourself differently on days you're struggling versus days you're locked in?
Days I'm struggling, I really tend to focus on my routine. And I've always been told, hey, you need a routine. But I didn't really put an active routine together until maybe my sophomore year, when I noticed, okay, well, some of these things are going out of control, but there's not really a way I ground myself other than being isolated. And you're not always going to be isolated. Sometimes, you know, I get up at 7 in the morning or 6:30 in the morning and I have a lift. Then I have to go straight to class. And then after class, I have other things to worry about. I have to go home and make food and with other teammates. And then I'm off to practice already. So having a routine within myself, you know, I only listen to certain music. I only listen to certain music all throughout times of the day, but I only listen to certain songs. If I really need a message externally, you know, to really ground myself internally, and then being able to slow myself down has been really important for me this year, especially on the field. I know last year I was sort of new to the mental performance that we do, but this year, I mean, it's been amazing. This year, my breathing really works. I have a thing where I on my chest three times if I'm in a 0-2 count or if something doesn't go my way in the box, and pretty much every guy in the dugout now does it back to me, and it really is like a mirror looking back at myself, like, okay, all right, I got this. They know I got this. They trust me. So if they can trust me, then I can trust myself.
Yeah, 100%. And I've got to see you struggle, and I've got to see you be successful. I've got to see you hit, you know, walk-off home runs, and I've got to see you feel like, yeah, I'm terrible. And that's the beauty of the game in itself, too. And when you do have those special moments, yes, you've had some incredible home runs here, most specifically recently. But then there's also those moments where you just like, wow, this is an incredible game. And it's been a heck of a journey here. You've been a part of multiple programs growing up, high school, D1, and now here. What's something about leadership or hard work that most players overlook, in your opinion?
You'll rarely hear someone, if ever, speak about how hard they work or how great of a leader they are. You'll always see it. I know when I played for Arsenal Baseball under Aaron Wilson, he surrounded me around certain people that have worked hard really their entire life, and they don't showboat it, they don't talk about it. They just put the next foot forward and they move on. One of my coaches, Eddie DeWalt, he coached Arsenal 15 through 17U. And when I met him, you know, he had actually went to school with my mom, so my mom had great things to say about him. My dad knew him for a while. So off the bat, you know, before I got to see him in action, they really showed me with how they treated him and, you know, how he treated them and how they were around him that, okay, he's a hard worker. He knows what he's going to do. Even if he doesn't know what he's going to do, he knows how he's going to get around it to get to do it. And then later in life, being at Country Day, I was surrounded by family. My best friend, we ended up finding out we were related sophomore, like during COVID, his entire family. And then the people that I've been surrounded with at Country Day, the guys that the Vandy guys and the Stanford guys, you know, they were your best friend, but they were on you when it was time to, you know, be real.
Accountability.
Yeah. And they really showed me what leadership looks like. Saborn Campbell, he's up at Stanford right now. He was hard on himself, but as soon as you went to go talk to him, he was all ears. Even if he had a million words to say to you, he always let you say your words first, and he used that, and he took that into account before he said anything. And he treated everyone with respect, the coaches, the athletic director, the other teams especially, and his parents, you know, because he grew up in a great household as well. So no one really hears the leadership and the hard work that other people put in, but, you know, they can see the fruits of the labor that they put in.
Right. Where sayings like actions are more important than words, mm-hmm. right? And words are extremely important as well. Mm-hmm. And at the collegiate level, people think that you've got to have great stats to be a leader. And no, it's more about like what you do, who you are, your words, making sure they have meaning in meaningful times. And you've done a really great job of that. And I was thinking about the weight room a little bit. And I've seen you tell guys before, watch how I work. And what does that look like, though, on a regular day here for you?
On a regular day? This year, everything for me, including routine, has been steps greater, you know, steps better than last year and any year before. Having a roommate like Paul as well, he really keeps me humble and in tune with my routine. Being able to see his routine reminds me of my routine. Being on top of my schoolwork, especially. I always had the saying, don't study where you sleep, because then you won't get as much done. I did a study in psychology, in one of my psychology lectures, to where it's like 20 to 30% increase in productivity if you're not studying where you sleep. And I really use that a lot. So with study tables, I know there's guys, we got to go to study tables. Mm-hmm. I was happy to go to study tables.
It's a great environment to do what you need to do. Yeah.
You're around resources, you're around your teammates, and, you know, chances are pretty high that you're in a class with one of your teammates. Mm-hmm. So that's that extra help you didn't think you had if you were laying at home and isolated and, you know, you get stuck in procrastination. So as soon as you put those shoes on, you put the bag on your back, that procrastination, you know, it's already shattered almost. So looking internally and knowing I need to get my schoolwork done, not only because, you know, you have to get all the credits to go to a different school, but knowing I know what's best for myself and getting the best grade that I can. So there are days where Paul and I, you know, we sit in the kitchen, we both do our homework. You know, he could have a completely different class than me because I know he hates history, but I used to be a little bit of a history geek in high school. So, you know,
we're all making it.
Right. So then being able to watch other routines really puts me in perspective of my own routine. It really gets me going with my routine, and then working around like-minded people who want to accomplish the best things for themselves really helps me.
Marcus Aurelius said, "You have power over your mind, not outside events." What helps you maintain that self-control on and off the field?
So with on the field, my checklist, how I spoke about earlier, can't control what the umpire says. You can't control what the other team does. You can't even can really control where you hit the ball. You can control the effort you put into it. Mm-hmm. If you want to swing for a home run every single time, that's the effort that you put in for it. If you want to swing to do your job every time, then you swing to do your job. But you don't want to, okay, I'm going to be selfish and do this, or I don't think he's a great pitcher, so I'm not going to swing at anything, and I hope the umpire doesn't call it. Once you put yourself in those shoes, you're going to think you can control everything, but you can't.
Question for you, as you were talking about swinging for a home run, you just hit a walk-off home run to win the game just a few days ago. Mm-hmm. There's a really cool moment in that, but I want to ask you a question. Were you swinging for a home run there?
I wasn't. I'll be honest. They found the one thing that I hadn't worked on a lot, which is that high-end strike. But then when the new guy came in, I didn't even remind myself of the past succession against him because, you know, as we're practicing right now, pass doesn't matter. And I really just honed in on being locked in with him because, you know, I've watched tons of videos on Barry Bonds and everything. And, yeah, he says he has to beat the pitcher. But then I made it a step further and I said, I just have to beat the ball. And I wasn't swinging for a home run at all. I was just, you know, sticking to everything I practiced, staying on top of the ball. And then right before I walked in the box, Mo taps me. He goes, hey, small bites. Mm-hmm. And that really, like, you know, helped me a lot more. And the dugout heard it, too. So they're telling me small bites, too.
I think we could do a massive podcast on small bites and what that means and what the psychology of that behind that is. But that's for another time. The moment when you hit that walk-off, it was electric. People were excited. I mean, that it's a walk-off. So, you know, it's normal for people to be excited. And I remember trying to keep some guys back so that you were able to actually cross home plate. Your run did not matter, but, you know, I was trying to keep some people back. And then I remember seeing our bat boy, Joseph, on your shoulders amongst, you know, just a whole slew of people. And I was really hoping like somebody captured it. And I think I did see a picture of it the other day. And I was like, that's when we talk about hard work, we talk about just putting in the enormous amounts of effort and nobody sees it. It's in a dark room. Mm-hmm. There's not cameras. There's not a whole lot of people that are telling you, you know, hey, keep going, you know, that kind of stuff, patting you on the back. It's just really raw. And then when you get to see the game give back, and you get to see somebody else that's, you know, just loves our program to be able to see that and experience it and on your shoulders. I just like that was absolutely incredible. So we're talking about success here. We've won 17 of our last 19. It's really hard to do in baseball. It's a tough game. That takes maturity. What internal standards are the Stars right now holding themselves to in your perspective?
From my perspective, I see a lot of guys really internalizing positivity within themselves. You know, we have our, you know, our core values, but they take it a step further, I've been able to see. And this goes back to being able to listen and not speak all the time, being able to watch and not think you're being watched all the time, being able to see other people in their everyday life, because I see them at Lyft and I see them at practice, and even back at home, they always want to hang out in my apartment, so I see them there too. I see a lot of the guys, they don't put on a front with it either. Guys like Parker Vaughn, and he's been great. Him, AJ, I've got to see him mature greatly. I know when he got here, he was nervous. he didn't think he could hit a ball, but I'm like, hey, you're here for a reason. And I told him that, and he would text me every day, hey, I'm thinking about working on this. And a lot of times, the guys that ask me, hey, I think I need to work on this, what should I do? I tell them, no, you don't. You need to find peace. You need to be
an athlete.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Be an athlete and trust yourself. Don't think you have to change everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And just keep working. And he came back over the winter and started hitting the ball. I'm like, okay, this is the AJ that, you know, the coaches saw and that I get to see now.
We've got, some more, you know, questions for you, and I got some quick hitters for you. So we're really going to make you think on this one.
Right.
You played in some big moments now. Pressure reveals people. And we've talked about where pressure comes from. And a lot of times it's conceived that pressure is one of these things that comes from external forces, the external stuff, like the events, the crowd, the moments. But the pressure really comes from internal. It comes from yourself. And so if you can create pressure on yourself for that big moment, you can also create pressure on yourself for that practice when it's just you and the tee and the bat. What have you learned about yourself in those situations, those big moments? What have you learned about yourself?
My mental strength is a lot better than I thought it was.
Interesting.
That game I hit the walk-off against KZU, I was 0-3 before that'd be. I thought they had my number. I was struggling. The only thing I was focused on was being a teammate. My family was there. My little sister hadn't seen me play in a while. And she noticed too. I mean, she'd go over and we'd do our little handshake. If I, you know, didn't have a successful AB, we'd do a little handshake. My dad just looks at me, taps it on his chest. He's like, hey, you're fine. So having those little moments too really help. But even with our second game against KZU at their place, I was 0-for-3 that day too before I hit that home run in extras. So I think perseverance is not something I really looked at too much, but it's been, you know, it's instilled in me from the work that I've put in and the things that I've done, the roads that I've had to change into, being at Eastern Michigan and then coming here. Learning that my mentality is a lot tougher than I thought it was. Being able to, you know, come out on top after being buried deep and deep in that game, and then being able to reset the next day. So
just keep stacking, and that's what you've done beautifully. You've mentioned before how much your family means to you. You talked about it at the top of the show, but how do they influence how you lead, prepare, and carry yourself today?
I talk to both of my parents every day, and within the little conversations I have with my little sister, where she's always asking homework questions, I still find a way to use what my parents told me that day to try and tell her that day as well. My dad was a baseball coach and coached golf a little bit and football as well. He was in the Detroit Police Force for 20 years too. Everything that he's told me and everything that I've seen from him, because, you know, I've been by his side since I was two. I mean, at this point, I'm just his little shadow. But really the way he treated people told me about his leadership. And then with my mother as well, she's leading Blue Cross down in Detroit right now as well. I don't hear as much of that leadership from her because I'm not around her as my father. But then, you know, in high school, my dad was always at work, and I'd have days where I didn't have class until noon or 11. I'm at home and I'm with my mom, and then she's working at in our home office a lot now, so I hear her phone calls and I get to hang out with her. But they've been a great ground for me. And then as I'm growing with my religion, you know, my father is as well, and my mother always has been, so having that as well. And then my grandparents being deacons, so that circle is very tightly knit with a bunch of different strings that connect to all in every different spot.
A lot of fingerprints on you. That's the beauty of it. When your time at Lansing is done, this is a special place here. We throw around the word uncommon, but it's not just a thrown around word that goes on t-shirts. It is one of those things that's oftentimes hard to explain. You kind of have to see it to understand it a little bit. When your time is done, what do you want your name to stand for in this program?
I know now, you know, me and Prawl joke about, I'm going to break the home run record, the average record, the slugging record. Yeah, we want that. We were using that to boost our fuel right now. But I think, you know, by the time I'm done here, I really want it to just be the person I was and the teammate I was. You know, I'll have a lot more games where I can hit a home run to win the game for us. I can make the throw or make the catch to save the game for us. And you can do that everywhere. You won't always be able to imprint your personality and yourself everywhere.
Impact.
Yeah, there won't be, not every spot you can, you know, imprint yourself 100%. I think being here, especially being my second year here, the people that come into here are not the same people that leave here. And I think that's a very appreciative stance to look at it from. I've grown exponentially here, and I'm still growing. And the fact that this is the environment to where I can fully branch out every one of my branches is really going to help me and shift my perspective on, okay, yeah, I'm going to break these records to, you know, I want to be the best person that came out of here internally. I want to be the best person to my guys, to my teammates. You know, I want to see how big of a heart I can grow for these guys next to me.
Couple quick hitters for you.
All right.
Best leader you've ever played with.
Best leader.
Yes, go.
Ooh, best leader. Honestly, I mean, I played some family player parent games with my dad. I'd say my dad.
All right. Love it. Favorite pregame moment this year?
Favorite pregame moment down in Mississippi, the entire team, we all sat down and prayed.
What flips the switch for you on game day?
My music beforehand.
Beats per minute.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. You've gone from prospect to leader to tone setter. What do you hope the guys take away from being around you?
Doesn't matter how much you struggle, you can always put the best foot forward and make a succession out of yourself.
Finish this sentence. To be uncommon, you have to
be disciplined.
Love it. Thank you for being in the studio today. It's electric. Make winning in life your habit, not your goal. Excellence isn't an outcome. It's a daily standard. Leadership isn't about shouting. It's about showing up. In stoicism, it's not about being emotionless. It's about being unshakable. Build the right habits. Lead with intent. Push yourself in silence and let your work speak. Until next time, keep stacking bricks and go Stars. Coach Cut's Corner is recorded live in the WLNZ studios with Dalian Lowry providing engineering and production assistance. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it and follow us on all forms of social media. Our program has been built and maintained with the help of many great people. If you want to be part of our mission, you can donate using the link in the show notes below. You can learn more at CoachCutter.com and more about our team at LCCStars.com. See you next time.